Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom, what's going on? We back in the house. Yes, it is again the Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and we're on the way. Man, it's been a blessing, man. It's Shabbat Shalom to everybody out there. We're back again after a little break, and we have an awesome show. You already know each and every week it's going down on the Poetic Energy Network Station. I hope you got your notes, and I hope you're ready for what's about to transpire this show, man, because we got some important information, man, and without further ado, we're just going to get right into it. So let's go. Father Yahuwah, we thank you once again for another day. We thank you for waking us up. Father, we pray that in the name of Yahushua that you would show us great and awesome, mighty things we don't know, and that you would continue to watch over us and to protect us and show us the spiritual atmosphere, Father, that we may do your will and understand the signs of the times and what's going on. Yahushua the Messiah's name we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So yes, we're back again. You already know each and every week is going down on the Poetic Energy Network Station. One second, we're having a little difficulties. One second. Yeah, so we're back. We're back again. And we're just going to get right back into it, man. Okay, we got a lot that is going down. I mean, we have so much that is going down right now. It is amazing. So we just want to get right into it. You know, we got the elections coming up. We've been talking about it for a while. You got the Summer Olympics, you got the sanctions going down next week, I believe the 28th, the sanctions begin to go down, and we got some behind-the-scenes information about either these sanctions, about what's going on. You got that going down at the end of the week. You got, there's so many things that are going down and transpiring that we just have to stay attentive to what's going on. So we're going to get right into it, man. And this, because I don't know if you know, you probably know that in November, I believe it's November, and you have the presidential elections going on, and the Obama realm has been pretty silent. Not pretty silent, but, you know, it's not been really publicized. But we got some behind-the-scenes information that we wanted to talk about. And so I'm trying to see where to even start at. Because I don't know if you ever seen a movie. They had a movie come out. It was a movie one time a long time ago called The Manchurian Candidate, and then they had a remake of that with Denzel Washington and some other people. But basically, the story of The Manchurian Candidate was a story about all the cards and different things moving, so people behind the scenes can get their agenda perpetrated through an individual. And so what I was researching, we wanted to talk behind the scenes about who's really pulling the strings and what's going on. There is a person called Alfredo Nicholas, okay? This person right here, and I want you to look these up. If you don't believe me, you know, get a chance to look these names up, because we're name dropping today. So, because we want to talk about the end time events according to Revelations 2. But you had a person called Alfredo Nicholas, who is called the Black Pope, and they elected the Black Pope. I don't know if you ever heard of the Black Pope, and the reason why they call him the Black Pope because he usually is dressed in black. But this is the person, basically, who advises the what they call the White Pope, who is Benedict the 16th. And this is the person you pretty much know in the news, you know, went to Cuba and all this. And we're going to talk about, man, this gets deep, I'm telling you. The rabbit hole goes deep. And so you have him who basically, you know, advises the White Pope, you know, Pope Benedict the 16th. And so we're just talking about, these are the key characters that we need to continue to watch. You have another guy named, these names are so hard to pronounce, but David S. Kalanamos Jaja, who is one of the overseers of the Federal Reserve. And you have another person called Roberto Marduk, who was part of CFR and the Knight of the Gregory International Media Mogul. Okay, so you're probably like, why are you name dropping all? Okay, all these people right here that I just named, they're part of the CFR, they're part of the secret societies, they all have connections to Obama. Okay, now we're going to show you this. This is not make-believe. This is true. Now, with a guy called, this man, this gets deep. It's a guy, he has a very hard name to pronounce, but his name is Zibina Berzerna Scott. First name, Zibigneu. Okay, who is this guy? This guy is supposedly, he's part of the Trilateral Commission. He is also a person who was part of the defense. He's part of the defense in the U.S. White House. He was part of the defense person in the foreign policy. Now, I'm going to tell you the background of this guy, because we're going to get into it and we're going to get further, but you got to stay with me. This guy, I'm going to call him Mr. Zybig, if you get a chance to look him up, and I just seen this article on InfoWars, too. Also, after I had this information, I seen his information on InfoWars. Zybig is one of the creators of the people who say created Obama. Now, we're just talking about the Manchurian candidate. We're talking about, you know, people moving cards and pulling strings to get a certain person to push their agenda. Now, Mr. Zybig, once again, he was part of the defense department in the White House, and part of the foreign policy and a foreign policy advisor. Now, Mr. Zybig wrote a book in 1997. Now, I'm gonna tell you this. 1997. He's part of the secret society. He's part of the Jesuits, and we're gonna talk about that in a little bit. He wrote a book in 1997, and this is what the book said. He was a foreign policy advisor. Now, he said that the U.S. could be attacked by Afghanistan terrorists, and that he was thinking that the U.S. would invade Afghanistan, and that the U.S. would eventually control Iran as a strategic element in the U.S. Policies. And also try to exert their power influence on Central Asia and the Middle East. Now, this book was written in 1997. Okay? Now, this is where it gets interesting. This guy that I just talked about, he's one of the people they call the elite, okay? This guy was one of the foreign policy advisors of the presidents, okay? He wrote this book in 1997. Now, this actually happened. What he said actually happened because, you remember, 9/11 was, what did they say? They said that the Afghanistan and all those people attacked the U.S. by 9/11, via 9/11, in which we know the whole story behind that. And so they, in this book, he wrote that the U.S. would invade Afghanistan as a result to the attack. Okay? Now, so that happens. That happens. The U.S. goes to Afghanistan. You have the Afghanistan war. You have, you know, they go into Iraq. They do all these things because of the attack on 9/11. And then he later writes, because he was a foreign policy advisor. So what this person, basically break this down, is this person would advise the president on matters concerning other nations and what, you know, should we go to war? Should we invade? Should we do this? Should we do that? You know, this was a person. And this person is deeply connected to number one, secret societies like the Trilateral Commission and the Jesuits, who have an agenda already. Okay, so he wrote this book back in 1997. You remember 2001? That wasn't until 4 years later that this, what he had wrote, a foreign policy advisor of the president's, wrote, would come true. Okay. So, and now we're kind of in that part right now where the U.S. seeks to take control of Iran to impose their influence on Central Asia and the Middle East. Okay, what main nation has been putting the sanctions on Iran? Who has been the main leader of the supposedly attack and the nuclear weapon thing against Iran? It has been the U.S., and particularly President Obama. And we're going to show you why Obama is going hard. We finally got the answer of why Obama is going so hard against Iran. We're going to show you the nuts and bolts of that. Because you remember, it was a couple weeks ago where they had an interview with, not a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, where they had an interview with Benjamin Netanyahu and President Obama, and Benjamin Netanyahu said, in a pun, he was trying to say it in a pun like a joke, that Obama and the U.S. is like the big Hasatan or Satan, and they were the little Satan. That's what he was trying to say. But we know the reality is that is actually not a joke. That is actually, you know, somewhat true, true is what the U.S. is trying to do. Now, this is where it gets deep. The foreign policy advisor who said this, who wrote this in a book in 1997, who said what he would do, because he had the same agenda as the Rockefellers. All the elites know the same thing. They had this, you know, the Rockefellers said it too, that they would go into Afghanistan, that, you know, an event would happen, they would go into Afghanistan, and they would try to, they would, you know, do things they didn't need to do in there. Okay, now, check this. Now, I have some information for you. This guy, Zibig, was also connected to another guy named Huntington, who was part of the Trilateral Association too. And their mass, their beliefs, their ideology. Now, this is a foreign policy of violence. I mean, this. I mean, we're talking about some deep stuff. You know, talking about stuff that get you sniped. Their part, you know, just like the CIA, their main agenda was, guess what? Their main agenda is for a dictatorship. Their main agenda, because Huntington, who was part of the Trilateral Commission, and I'm sure you probably don't know these people's names, these people's names sound foreign, but you just get the aspect of these people behind the scenes. He wrote an article to Huntington, who was connected to the Zibig, wrote an article about the promise of disharmony. which was in 1981. And what this article entails was the hope of instituting a dictatorship, and by which means it was Obama that they were going to use. Now, this gets very interesting. Now, Obama went to Columbia University at New York. Okay. Now, nobody really talks about the years, and it's not really media publicized about the years of Obama at Columbia University. Okay. Not a lot has talked about this. But through some sources and some research I've done, that Mr. Zibig, we talked about the foreign policy advisor for the United States of America, had approached Obama and his team. The Zibig team had approached and started to mold Obama in his years at Columbia University. And this is where they began to indoctrinate him. Because you remember, you know, he becomes a senator. You have, and I just found out that Obama's thesis, you know, when he started taking political science, you know, you have to write a thesis. His thesis was about nuclear disarmament. Okay, the same thing that he's pushing now, going so hard against Iran. It was about nuclear disarmament. Now, what is very, very funny is that Mr. Zibig, one of the part of the Trilateral Commission and part of the U.S. advisors, you know, he was around the era. I mean, this guy's kind of old, but he was around the era of Jimmy Carter and all those. But his main agenda was, guess what? Under the cloak, he had a big agenda of having a dictatorship. What he cloaked it with is the idea of nuclear disarmament. Okay, and so a lot of sources and a lot of people say that when Obama was in college, the Trilateral Commission and part of Mr. Zibig, one of the defense foreign policy advisors, approached his team and got him to get these ideas. And because Mr. Zibig once again had connections. These are not coincidences. Mr. Zibig has connections to the people who run the Federal Reserve, the Rockefellers, and the people that are connected to Mr. Zibig are somehow were the biggest financial contributors to the Obama campaign. That cannot be coincidence. So you had the biggest people that were financially contributing to it. So I don't know if you never got a chance to check out that movie, The Manchurian Candidate. But basically, what they tried to do is before they tried to get all the cards aligned in order for a policy to be pushed, you know, agenda to be pushed. And also, I mean, this thing gets deep because you're talking about Joe Biden. Joe Biden is also part of the secret societies and the Jesuits, and I don't have the oath in front of me, but the Jesuits basically agenda is to destroy and have a dictatorship over what they call heretics. Okay, so the people who are advising Obama are Jesuits who have taken the oath. Yahuwah said in Zechariah chapter 8 that he hates the false oath. Okay, but these people have taken oaths in secret societies in order to create a dictatorship to basically destroy and kill heretics. So you understand why in Revelations 20, why everybody will have their hair cut off, you know, if they don't bow to the beast. You know how everybody who does not. I mean, they all have the same vision. The Rockefellers, Mr. Zibig, Obama, they all have the same policy. I mean, this is not imaginary. The world will not keep spinning and these things not happen. These things will happen. So, I mean, Mr. Zibig, who is currently also one of, and subliminally one of the foreign policy advisors of President Obama, who once again we talked about in 1997, wrote a book saying about the Afghanistan events and about the terrorists attacking the U.S. and from that event, them going into, this is a foreign policy advisor saying these things, and he said that they would eventually control Iran. And so what are they doing? They're trying to control Iran from nuclear disarmament, in which Obama had got that idea in Columbia University when Mr. Zibig approached him, the Manchurian candidate. So, I mean, these things are what you're talking about, that the people who are behind the president, is their agenda is a totalitarian government in which a dictator will impose rules and regulations in which they can monitor and in which we know that the end result is Revelation 13, which no one can buy or sell except they have the mark of the beast. Okay, so this is the people behind the scenes, and these things are not imaginary. Because if the word is to come true, in which it is, if the word is to happen and to unfold, you have to have chess pieces that move in order for something to happen. And these are the chess pieces that are moving, is, you know, this Manchurian candidate who was picked back in. And nobody's saying that Obama is the anti-Messiah or none of these things, but I'm saying that Obama has been picked for this moment in what their agenda that they're trying to push. From 1980s, in which Mr. Zibig approached him at Columbia University, you know, and it's no coincidence that their whole, you know, they everything done in the Illuminati and the New World Order is done under the cloak of imaginary words, which don't really tell the story. Just like we talked about Public Law 102-14, the education law. This is called the education law, but Public Law 102-14 really says that they have the ability, the Noahide laws, the seven laws of Noah, which they say that if you blaspheme, that if you even call, if you were in the future, that if you were called to call upon the name Yahuwah or call upon his son named Yahushua, that you will be decapitated for blasphemy. Okay, this is on America's law books, but they call it Education Day. So, yes, it looks like the policies, they're trying to go against Iran for nuclear disarmament. You know, they're getting uranium, and they're trying to produce nuclear weapons, and that's what it looks like, and that's what they push, that's what the media pushes to make people believe and see, and not really see what's behind that. What is behind, you know, nuclear disarmament? What is behind that? Because you want to say that you want to disarm. Why do you just want to disarm people? Because you want to disarm people who have a totalitarian government. They don't want anybody to threaten the status of the of their global agenda. So, I mean, all these things are connected, man. You're still listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and we're still on the way. Hey, now, this is some more important information. You had the Jesuits. You had the founder of the Jesuits is Saint Augustinus Loyal, who was the founder of Society of JC. Now, we're talking about what you got to understand is this is the religion behind Christianity. Christianity is many daughters. I mean, you have. In Christianity, you have the Baptists, you have the Protestants, you have the Catholic. You have all these other religions. But all these religions are daughters because they came out of the mother whore, which was the papacy of capitalism. Catholics. Okay, you have the main Catholic Church, and then you have the branches with the Baptists, and they all have the same ideology. So your T.D. Jakes, all these people fall under the same spirit as this. Now, the Society of J.C., this is what I want you to understand, the Society of J.C., which was basically created around the 1500s, which would still umbrella all the Baptists and Catholics and everything like that. These people took secret oaths. I mean, next week, y'all, we can go ahead and read some of those things so you can understand what's going on. But they took secret oaths. And I want to read something from the scriptures right here. If you got your scriptures, go to Zechariah. If you have your scriptures, go to Zechariah chapter 8, verse 17. He said, "Do not plot evil in your heart against one another, and do not love a false oath. For these I hate, declares Jehovah." Now, these people in the Society of J.C. in which Christianity now falls under, this is the spirit that it has not been awakened in Christianity, that you have to understand what the spirit is of J.C. The spirit of J.C. is the spirit of murder. This is what you have to understand. This is the spirit of J.C. is the spirit of murder. Okay, it is not the spirit of love, it is the spirit of hate and of murder. This Mr. Loyola, who created the Society of J.C., the Jesuits, who Obama, Joe Biden, the Federal Reserve, these news stations, who the Black Pope, who the white pope, all these people who fall under the spirit of the Jesuits is the spirit of murder. Yes, it comes in the name, not the true name, but in the name of the truth. It tries to come in the name of the truth. That's why Jesus said, he said, "Many will come in my name saying I am he." It didn't mean his physical name. It didn't mean his physical name, because remember he said that nobody's able to really come in his name and do miracles in his name and then all of a sudden say, you know, something bad about him. So they're not coming in the name Yahushua. But when you look at that word in the Greek, coming in the name, you know, it almost means like try to come in the authority, in the power, in the direction or you know, in the likeness of his name. So you got people, yes, they come in the name. That's why, you know, you have Obama. He says religious stuff. You know, these people seem religious, but they do not have the ruach or the spirit. So they come in the name. That is the most deceptive part of it, because the son of perdition will come in the name, try to come in the authority and the power of the Messiah. He will try to come in the name. He said, look. He said, "Many will come in my name saying I am he." That's what he said. He said, many will come. He says, "For false messiahs and false prophets shall arise, and they shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen ones." And that's what's so deceptive, is a lot of these people who are the very evilest people on the face of the planet, they will try to come in the authority. Look, verse 5, "And many shall come in my name saying I am the Messiah, and they shall lead many astray." So a lot of these people, they're coming in the name, in the authority, because the word Shem, which means name, it means title, it means authority, it means power, it means jurisdiction, it has a broader meaning of just a physical name. So they're coming in this arena of the truth, and that's what's so deceptive, is because a lot of people will say, "Oh, well, they connect themselves to some kind of spirituality," and they say, "Oh, well, they're connecting to me because they're coming, you know, in the truth, and they believe this." But these are the very most evilest people who come in. Like we talked about last time, Madeline Belinsky who was one of the most evilest women on the face of the planet, had used scriptures and talked about, you know, all these things, but yet she relayed that the light of the world and all these things, but she said that it was Hashatan who was that person. So these people come in the name of the scriptures. They might even quote scriptures. They quote scriptures. You remember when Yahushua was on the mount, Hashatan was quoting scriptures back to him. I mean, Hashatan, the adversary, was quoting scriptures. So these people come in the name. They come in and they try to come in the word. You know what I'm saying? So this is what you have to remember. This is what's so deceptive, and this is what you have to be aware of, because he said that it was possible they would deceive the very elect. That's why we got to be aware of that, to know that, hey, these people are even going to come even using a word. And that's the most deceptive part, because they come looking like a Malach or a messenger of light. Because, of course, they're not going to come all evil. The son of perdition is not going to look all evil, and people are going to know, that's the guy. You know, the false prophet is not going to look, you know, like people, you know, depict these people looking like, oh, they're just so evil and they just look like this and, you know, these people are going to be doing all this stuff. No, it's going to be slick, and it's going to be sly, and it's going to be, you know, how a wolf moves and manipulates. So, I mean, you have these things going on. You still listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. I mean, Hussein, and we're still on the way. Hey, we still got a little bit of more news to relay, man. These things are going down. I mean, we are on the brink, which people don't know. We're on the brink of the beginning of the sorrows. And I don't know if even people are aware about the flood. I don't know if people are even aware about how close we are to things and who are pushing the button for things to go down. Like, I don't know if people know, because you got to understand that once Yahuwah says, okay, now it's time, these things cannot be reversed. So we have to prepare our house, prepare our minds, you know, continue to, you know, preach the Besor, and just to continue to just put ourselves in a position to be ready, you know what I'm saying, and continue to not be unaware, not let that day catch us unaware, you know, and not fall asleep. Now, I know last week we talked about on February 20th. Now, if you get a chance, go to YouTube, check out. They have an art. They have a video. Jerusalem riots break out on the Temple Mount at Al-Qaeda Mosque, February 20th, 2012. Now, to my knowledge, I have not seen this reported on CNN, Fox, none of the news stations. This news station is RT News. They publicize a lot of news and things that happen over in Europe and the Middle East. But I haven't seen this report all this, because I mean it's June now, and this happened in February, and it's just really, you know, coming out. And so what happened is, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. They had a riot on the Temple Mount, and this riot was supposedly caused by, on February 20th, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announcing that they would take control of the Temple Mount, and they would build the third temple right beside the Al-Qaeda, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Dome of the Rock. And it is room for them to build, you know, the third temple, which is outlaid in, you know, Ezekiel, that they would build right there. And so a couple days later, and I believe it was more riots than just that one. If you get a chance to look it up, you'll actually see the riot as it takes place. And this reaction, and they were quoting, in which I don't like to even say his name, but we got to say, you know, just for the purpose of what's being said, they were saying Allahu Akbar, which is, if you Google this, if you Google it, you will see many of times, numerous of times, in which gunmen, which bombers have quoted this statement in taking people lives and killing people, okay? Now, we know in the scriptures that it said that in the end days that people would, they would kill people and they would murder people, and basically in the name of their mighty one, basically actually believing that it is ordained for these things to happen. You know what I'm saying? It is ordained, and you know, Elohim is pleased with them murdering people. You know what I'm saying? When the commandments say thou shalt not murder. You know? So this is what you have, and they were shouting this out supposedly in the reaction of what Prime Minister Netanyahu had said as far as what they were gonna do, and they said they were gonna do it later this year. Okay? Now this break is very interesting because I mean you have so many things circling around, and we're once again commanded to be watching, to stand at our post and watch. Now we talked about a couple that it was some things that had leaked that said that Obama was supposed to visit in July next month Israel. So I mean you have the sanctions going down next week. Yeah, the sanctions going down next week, which begins to cut more oil supply off from Iran. So we don't know if that's going to create a spike in gas prices or not. It could, it possibly could begin to do that. But that's supposed to happen, I believe, that we talked about on the 28th of June. And so we have the Olympics, we've been talking about that, and then you have the supposedly Obama's supposed to visit Israel in July. And you also have, I have more on this story. We've just been talking about the Pope Benedict the 16th, in which we talked about how Revelations talks about. It talks about the false prophet and the anti-Messiah. And so what you have here, in Revelation 13, you have the beast and the false prophet. And you have the one beast getting everybody to worship the anti-Messiah. And we know that that's the goal of the Pope. The Pope end time goal in his end time role is to lead people unto worshiping the anti-Messiah. Okay, so this is what you have going on. This is what you have going on, and we know that the beast, the man of the beast, will be JC. So we know that's going on. So the Pope end time goal is to get people to worship the anti-Messiah. He'll point to the anti-Messiah, and so I mean, let's talk about current events and let's connect these things together. Okay. So what you have here is I got some more information. The College of Cardinals have been preparing for the election of Pope Benedict's 16th successor. Okay? They've been preparing, I mean there's articles out there, they have been preparing for his successor, because what had happened is these speculations of him retiring had came out, I believe it was last year, when a journalist named Antonio, who wrote in the Times of London, that they were saying, and a lot of speculations were saying, and the Pope had literally some statements, you know, saying that there was a possibility of the Pope retiring at the age of 85, which in April he had just turned 85, okay? So that statement was released by this journalist, and it really blew up online, and so a lot of people believe that the Pope is soon to retire. Number one, because a lot of people you know have seen, and I have looked into it, the Saint Malachi's prophecy about the, I believe it was 112 popes, in which Pope Benedict the 16th is the 111th Pope. So a lot of people believe there's one more. Okay, so what you have here is the Cardinals, this is very, and I'm not saying that this is totally, you know, true and this is the end of the story. However, the next pope would be called the Petros, which means Peter, Romanos, which was one of the statements that they said that, you know, the prophecy said that he would be the next pope. Okay. Now, we're going to reverse right there. Stay right there for a minute. Okay. Now, remember what we just talked about Netanyahu and how they're doing this. Now, Netanyahu, they were just saying that they were going to try to take control of the temple, but you see the riots going on. You see the riots going on because of even the release of this statement. And so as you have the building of the third, the possibility of the building of the third temple beside this, this mosque, you see the tensions already, even from that statement, you see the tensions already. So they're going to need somebody to come in and kind of stop the peace. Push the peace. Okay. So once again, we're going to pause and we're going to rewind even back further. We talked about before that one of the NWO planners, Bill Lambert, said that at one time in history that the Pope would come to Jerusalem and, number one, unite the faith in order to get them to, you know, coincide on the treaty, basically on the treaty and on the things to get them to coincide, both sides to coincide, to have an agreement in which it would be peace, and they would, in the middle of this peace, the symbol of this peace would be the third temple. Okay. Now, on the same day, I don't really believe in coincidence too much, but on the same day, February 20th, 2012, in which Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu released that statement that they were going to try to build a third temple later this year beside the mosque, the same day, it is a group called the, let me find the name, it is a group called the Temple Mount and Land of Israel Faithful Movement. They sent the letter. I actually have the letter. I don't have the letter with me, but I have the letter. We can read it one day. It's pretty long. But they sent a letter on the same day to Pope Benedict XVI of Rome requesting him to return back to Israel as soon as possible because they were quoting, unlike we have seen, about them having, you know, the utensils, and some of the utensils that were used in the Second Temple, and after, you know, Titus had destroyed it, they were talking about all these things that they had and about how, you know, the everything is in line, everything is now aligned, and this is one of the biggest movements and groups towards building the third temple other than the Temple Institute, in which they are connected to the Temple Institute. So they were calling on the Pope, and they said all things are, I mean, this is this year. They were saying every single thing is in order for them now to build a third temple. They said that's what they were saying. They said he had no temple. They said the priests are even trained now. Everything is ready, you know, for that to happen. And they said that he has to be the initiator to do that because of the tension that's going on in that region. So, and this was a letter by Gershon Shamalan, who is the chairman of this Temple Institute and Land of Israel Faithful Movement. And so they're pushing very, very hard. And I mean, if you read the letter, it's kind of confirming what we have been thinking about, because, and what we have been learning about, because we know that the end times says, Thessalonians says that, you know, that the end will not come except the son of perdition is revealed, the one who opposes and exalts himself above all called mightiness. And so we know that this is very interesting, man, because these things that are going on, Yahushua said that when you see all these things going on, lift your head because your redemption draws near. So our redemption is drawing near I mean, by the second, by the day, in which people don't even know that our redemption is drawing near. And so we just have to prepare ourselves, prepare our hearts and minds to get ready for, and we pray that we will be worthy to escape the things that are coming upon this world. And I know sometimes we don't want to think about it, but it's kind of that thing of if a thief is coming to your house, you know, I mean, you cannot think about it, you know, but he's still coming. You know what I'm saying? You cannot think about it. You cannot, you know, you cannot imagine that it won't happen, you know, but he's still coming. You know, so these events are still coming and nothing can stop me. So it's on us to prepare our hearts and minds because the word can't be stopped. And so, like we're talking about Netanyahu released this statement on February 20th. You have this group, this mass group of movement, you know, calling to the Pope saying, hey, you got to, on the same day, this is why this cannot be coincidence. On the same day, they're saying that, hey, all these things are in order. Now all you need to do is come to Jerusalem and set it straight on the national stage so everybody knows so we can begin this thing and we can have peace, we can have world peace. And we have the Bill Lambert, the planners of the NWO, saying and confirming that word that has to happen. And of course, the ultimate confirmation for all these events and things happening is these scriptures, in which the scripture said that all these things will take place. Okay. So what you have here, so we got a little bit more. Okay, so what you have here is you have the Cardinals are already preparing for the election of the next Pope, and which could be the last Pope, which they are saying his name will be Petrus Romanus. Now, this is a very interesting. I'm not saying this is totally true, but this is very interesting. You have a guy named Cardinal Peter. He has a very hard name. His name is Cardinal Peter. We'll just call him Turkson. His last name is Turkson. And I don't know if you got a chance to check out this guy, but he is from Ghana. He is from Ghana, and he's black, you know. And so this Pope from this Cardinal, he was elected Cardinal a while back. Now this guy, of all the cardinals that are now supposedly the cardinals, he has the most influence and the most popularity of all the cardinals. I mean, I was reading an article. I mean, this guy had already, once he was elected cardinal, he had already had the G20 summit. I mean, had financial people in the G20 summit. You know, from his statements, you know, people calling meetings and the G20 calling meetings and everything on his statement. And he's the most respected. And after President Obama was elected, a lot of media came out saying that it was time for, you know, a black pope because they were saying, you know, they have a black president, you know, it's time for a black pope. And he released a statement saying, yes, it is time for a black pope. And, you know, he released statements like that. You have other cardinals backing him, other cardinals saying, yes, it is time for a black pope. So that's just speculation, and that's out there in the air. But that he is the most popular cardinal at this time unto succeed the Benedict. And so these are the chess pieces. These are the chess pieces that are happening. These are the chess pieces that are moving and are happening. Because what do these chess pieces get us to think about? What do these chess pieces get us to think about? And this is what you have. So you have the Black Pope. And this is not the Black Pope we were talking about earlier. In which is the head over the white pope. What we're talking about, of color and descent. He's African from Ghana. And so they released a lot of media after President Obama had been elected that, yes, it was time for that. I think it was even in the Times magazine. And we know that the Times, number one, is a Zionist, Jesuit-inspired magazine, and all these media that were pushing it, and you see what media begins to push people, that these people usually fall through into becoming what the media were trying to push them to be. Just like Obama, you had all these things pushing Obama to be the next president. We had, you know, and what happens. So this is just something to think about. That's what you have. But what does all these chess pieces mean? So why are we talking about this? What does all these chess pieces mean? These chess pieces and all these things get us to point to where? Point to the scriptures, because this is the ultimate authority, the word, in which is to happen next. So we know in Revelation 11 that we have coming upon us, we have Yahuwah told us in Revelation 11:3, he says, and I shall give my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days of sackcloth. These are the two olive trees which stand, it says, and the two lampstands which are standing before Elohim of the earth. Okay, so, you know, that's from Zechariah 4:3, the two olive trees which are standing before the presence of Yahuwah, because, you know, Enoch and Eliyahu have not perished yet in the physical, and they stand before Yahuwah's host in two olive trees. They have witnessed all this. They have witnessed all this, and they will come and bear their testimony for 3.5 years. So this is what all these events, all these chess pieces point to. That was one side of the chess piece, of the chess game, but of the real side that we're watching for the coming of Yahushua, you have the two witnesses coming. And so we have to watch all the moves, because after Hashatan moves and moves his chess pieces, you will have Yahuwah moves his chess piece, and you will see the two witnesses coming. We will see the two witnesses coming. So, we're excited, but it's also going to be, you know, we pray that we'll be, spared from this time. But you have, I mean, these things are coming. We're talking about these things can possibly be coming in the next few years. I mean, this is how serious this is. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, it almost gives you goosebumps to think about the word of Yahuwah coming to pass, and the two witnesses, Enoch and Eliyahu, coming to bear the testimony, in which, they will be slain, and later they will be waking up. And then you have the coming of our Messiah, the Messiah, Yahushua the Messiah. Before Abraham was, he was. Before Abraham is, he was. And he was the creator of the universe, sitting at the right hand of the Father. I mean, you're talking about the maker of the heavens and the earth, the Aleph and Tav. I mean, you're talking about the one who created us and from dust, you know, coming and stepping foot on the Mount of Olives, in which it will be split in two. This is what you have happening. This is what we continue to look forward to. So we continue to look at the chessboard in this world, these events. You know, these are not pointless. Because if you're playing chess, you're not just gonna focus on one side of the chessboard, okay? Because chess, you're looking at, okay, this piece moves over here, so that piece moves over here, I know this piece got to move over here. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the whole chessboard, the whole event, what's happening, and the end of the matter. This is the end of the matter. The end of the matter is checkmate. Yahushua the Messiah. So we want to read some things. We want to read checkmate. So let's go to Revelation 18. We're going to read Revelation 18 and 19. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about checkmate. And so, I mean, more and more every day, every week, I mean, events are unfolding and right in front of our face to these things. I mean, the machine is starting to crank up. I mean, we're getting so close to where we'll wake up one morning and we'll read a verse and it just happens. It just happened in the natural and we just seen it happen. I mean, this is what we're talking about. I mean, this is what we're talking about when we read a prophecy here and we just seen it happen. I mean, this, I mean, that's, what could be more amazing than to see the word of Yahuwah come to pass and to know that Yahusha the Messiah is coming. So no matter what we face every day, I mean, nothing is more, nothing is more important. Nothing can make us lose our focus on the real matter. Yes, we live life. We live here. We got to go every day. We got to work. We have to provide for our families. We have to, you know, we have fun. We do things. But we can never lose fact of what's to come and what is our purpose. And because we don't want to fall asleep, and we don't want to be like Yahusha said, that in the times of the end, people were drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and didn't know the flood was coming. And this is what's happening today. A lot of people are just asleep and unaware and oblivious, you know, to the fact that, hey, they don't understand these events that are happening. They don't understand the things about the Pope. They don't understand about these chess pieces moving and who's behind, who's pulling the strings and what's going on, because these are all things we have to understand and be aware of. We want to read the moment when checkmate happens, when it's over and check hot time and it's over. So we're going to look forward to that. We're going to read Revelations 18, 19. Now, if you're listening on either phone or by radio, sometimes it cuts off, but this show goes into archives. You'll be able to check it out on the archives. But we want to read Revelations 18. It says, And after this, I saw a messenger coming from the heaven saying, it says, having great authority, and the earth was like lightning from his esteem. And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen, and become a dwelling place of demons, and a honey of every unclean spirit, and every unclean spirit, and the hatred of bird, because all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her horn, and the sovereigns of the earth have committed horn with her, and the merchants of the earth had become rich through her power of her righteous living. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sin, lest you receive her plague. Because her sin and her power to reach the heavens in you, and Elohim has remembered her unrighteousness. Render to her as she indeed did render, and pay her double according to her works. It says, in the cup which she mixed, for her double. It says, in much as she esteemed herself in living righteously, so much torture and grief her give her to grief. Because in her heart she says, I am fit as a sovereigness, and I am not a widow, and I do not mourn at all. Okay? So we're going to pause right there. We're going to skip down to Revelation 19, in which we're talking about this is the event, the wedding, in which we're looking forward to, and this is what continues to inspire us to live with joy. I mean, there should be no reason. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. How do we have joy? Because we have set our hope on things that which are eternal, in which things that can't be taken away. You believe in Yahusha, you keep the commandments, you have eternal life. Nothing can take that away. Nothing can take that joy away. So no matter what you face every day, you wake up, you face every day, I mean, you will think about the eternal hope. And, I mean, that inspires you to have joy. That's joy that can't be taken away. And this event begins that joy in which will be everlasting. And so this is what we should wake up and think about, the coming of Yahusha. But Revelation 19:1, it says, now I heard with a great crowd in heaven saying, hallelujah, deliverance, esteem, and respect and power to Yahuwah Elohim, because true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her horn. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. And the second time they said, hallelujah. They said, and her smoke arises forever and ever. 24 elders and 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped Elohim who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, and a voice came from the throne saying, praise our Elohim, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard a voice of great crowd as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunder saying, hallelujah, for Yahuwah El Shaddai reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him praise, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has prepared herself. And to her it was given to be dressed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen of the righteousness of the set apart ones. Is the righteousness of the set apart ones. And he said to me, Blessed are those who have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of Elohim. And I fell at the feet to worship him, but he said to me, see, do not do it. I am a fellow servant and of your brothers who possess the witness of Yahushua. Worship Elohim. For the witness of Yahushua is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw the heaven open. Look at this. Look at this. And I saw the heaven open, and there was a white horse. And he who sat on him is called trustworthy and true. And in righteousness he judged and fights. And his eyes were as flame as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And a name had been written which no one could perceive except himself. And he had been dressed in the robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahuwah. And the armies in heaven, dressed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. It says, and out of his mouth goes a sword that he could smite the nations. And he shepherded them with the iron rod. And he treads down the winepress and the fierceness of the wrath of El Shaddai. And on his robe and his thigh, he has a name written, the Sovereign of Sovereigns, the Master of Masters. And I saw a messenger standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the mid heaven, come and gather to the supper of the great Elohim. Eat the flesh of the sovereigns, and the flesh of the commanders, and the flesh of the strong ones, and the flesh of the horses, and those who sat on them, and the flesh of the people, free and slave, both small and great. These are all the people who had worshipped the beast. It says, and I saw the beast and the sovereigns in the earth and their armies gathered together to fight him who sat on the horse and his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who works signs, and in his presence, it says, in his presence, in which he had led those who stray who had received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. And the two were thrown alive into the lake of fire burning with sulfur, and the rest who were not killed with the sword came out of the mouth of him who sat on the throne. It says, and the rest were killed with the sword which came out of the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds filled with their flesh. So that's checkmate. That's checkmate. That's the day we look forward to, and which will be coming in our near future, hopefully, prayfully, in our lifetime. And I truly believe it will be in our lifetime. And maybe very soon. So, hey, you've been listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Side, and we're still on the way. I hope you had a great day, man. I hope you had a blessed Shabbat. I hope that the world went forth and you got something out of it. And we just esteem Yahuwah. And, man, may Yahuwah bless you and keep you. And may his face shine upon you. Hey, you out of here. You've been listening to Poetic Energy Network Station, man. Y'all willing to catch us next week. You already know what's going down. Shabbat shalom. Peace to you.